Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the longest running bi-weekly episodic wrestling podcast based in Toronto, named after a major beer.
For
Need
sure.
That qualifier.
See, Michael Cole, we can do it too. You're listening to Stone Cold Shots Shotguns, a wrestling podcast where the shots are cold and the takes are quick.
Woo!
Yeah, normally we review and revisit a wrestling pay-per-view, but these little bonus episodes are going to be wrestling adjacent things. It could be something like recent that we just wanted to jump on, like today. It might be a WWE Studios film, Total Divas, whatever the fuck we want. You
Absolutely.
Know?
We figure that you've been bogged down by a 7.5 hour pay-per-view. We'll keep this as quick as possible. Quick recap, no problems.
Let's quickly introduce ourselves and tell me your favorite WrestleMania theme song written by Flo Rida.
All right, well, I'm Josh Felix Pryor. I'm the treasure and the gem and the internet's darling. Favorite song by Flo Rida's got to be, is it My House?
Yes.
Is that,
yes,
okay.
Josh. 100%
My
it's
House.
It's My House.
Okay, well, I didn't know if it was Greenlight or My House, but that 100%, without a doubt, is the best Flo Rida.
I'm Lauren Maxine. I'm a regular darling, and my favorite WrestleMania theme song is, of course, My House by Flo Rida.
And I'm Campbell Faulkner, rounding it out. Fuck Green Light. The best WrestleMania theme song of all time is My House by Flo Rida.
Hey, we got all three. Hey, it's unanimous.
So we're going to do a really quick kind of rapid fire recap review. Give some ratings to NXT TakeOver and WrestleMania 35, which just happened this past weekend. Josh was there live, so he's going to be filling us in on sort of what his live experience was like and how it compared to us watching at home. So
100%, peasants.
Yeah, you peasants that couldn't afford the flight to New York. Real wrestling fans only. Yeah, so it's like my mind's like a steel trap. So it was marinating in about 20 beers, so it could be a little rusty. So I didn't make any notes. I'm just shooting from the hip on this one.
It's
so I'm
nice
gonna
and fermented,
nice, aged well. So yeah, I'm just gonna be going off pure memory on this one. So it should be pretty interesting.
Yeah. So NXT TakeOver on the Friday night at the Barclays Center in New York for real.
It was Brooklyn.
Well, Brooklyn is New York.
Yeah, it's in Manhattan, though. Yeah, whatever. Okay, go on.
We're trying to keep it here.
SmackDown starts at 45 minutes.
You haven't realized Josh is a bougie bitch now?
Oh, right. Yeah, he knows the difference between Williamsburg and the Lower East Side.
Which borough are you talking about, Campbell?
So we start things off with the War Raiders versus Aleister Black and Ricochet.
Hate that they don't have a tag team name.
Well, I call them Al and Ricky.
Oh, God. I hate that, but I also love it.
Is that like a Rick and Morty?
Well, it is now. War Raiders came out with their like Viking drum thing that they've been doing for the past few takeovers.
It was dope.
Into that live.
You know what, everybody's just stoked to be there. Like, totally. You can tell by the crowd, like the live reaction, everybody was losing their fucking mind during the entrances,
even for War Raider.
Oh, 100%. Everybody's doing like the devil horns. War.
See, my issue was that the devil horns war, and their theme song, which sounds like a like mid-90s New York hardcore breakdown.
Awesome.
Which I totally love. Yeah. Didn't sync up with the beat of the drums at all.
They're working out the kinks. It's NXT, right?
But it was fine. People online were like kind of losing it over this match.
It's true. There were so many comments online of people being like, "Wow, this is amazing!" Blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, it is good. It's very good, but it's not. It's nothing special.
Yeah, but I thought the match on the whole, the crowd was white hot because it's like they know they're gonna like they're in for a night of
totally
amazing action.
And it's like everybody wants to sort of give that like good fair. Well, to Aleister Black and Ricochet, because this was like definitely their last.
Presumably,
yeah.
They came out on Raw and they still had the little NXT.
That was kind of weird.
Kind of weird, but presumably their last match. And I thought they had for the tools in the match for everything they were doing. I thought they had a great kickoff match.
Sure, they did.
Did you have a bald head rating for this?
I gave it a 3.5. 3.5 bald heads. I thought, you know, for what it was, the crowd made it a lot. During the match, for the first half of the match, The lights were shining into like our section and the section beside mm-hmm. us. Like, so you'll notice there's a rest hold with the war machine. And
we saw this live and we were wondering what was happening. We're frantically messaging you being like, what is happening? Why are people screaming?
I just assumed it was beach balls.
Yeah, no. It was like, turn the lights off. And then like it was just like, fuck these lights. Fuck these lights. Finally, they shut the lights off in the section. Mm-hmm. And the place like, erupted. Like, yeah. It might as well have been like the Undertaker coming out.
I told you there was a moment when like they're doing a rest hold and Aleister Black and one of the War Machine is like, they're clearly just having a conversation about it, being like, what the fuck is happening? And Alistair's like, I don't fucking know.
Yeah. And yeah, who knows? Probably beach ball.
Nah. I feel bad for them whenever that happens, yeah. But
I gave it a rating.
Stepping on my toes.
Yeah.
Okay.
3.5 out of 5 tearful farewells.
Wow.
I just said 3 out of 5. I don't have a fancy boy rating.
Like, you're making me up my game here.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have the same rating on this one, I think.
We do have the same rating.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. I think Bald Heads to Tearful Farewells is
it's 1-1.
1-1.
Yeah.
Just really leaving me out to hang here, but okay.
It's on you, Lauren. Yeah. It's on you.
So next up, we had Velveteen Dream versus Matt Riddle for the NXT North American Championship.
That entrance. Oh, man.
One of my favorite fucking matches of the whole goddamn night.
Absolutely.
Probably the whole goddamn weekend, just because of the fucking presentation.
Yeah.
Reminiscent of Living in America from Rocky IV. The worst Rocky, but...
There's Rocky V. With Machine Gun.
Well,
this is another pod. This is another pod.
So yeah, this was... I really liked this. I like that we had sort of like uber-confident Velveteen Dream coming in, meeting someone that he couldn't kind of muscle or like out-wrestle, and sort of resorting back to some of his heel tactics of like his earlier run with like the back rakes. Yeah. It was a very well-told story. And then you could see it kind of flip and Matt Riddle... like kind of lose it and like start showing a little bit of a like heel side to him as not the chilled out bro that we are used to.
That was a fantastic angle. I almost thought they were going to turn him heel and I was so into it. I'm glad they didn't, but it was still like very intriguing.
Yeah, but them reaching down, grabbing the old bag of tricks and seeing what they pulled out. Yeah. I thought it was really well done. I genuinely didn't know who was going to win at a few points in the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but it ended, Velveteen retained, and they ended with a nice little bro fist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should also say, sorry, that War Raiders did retain their NXT team titles.
Yeah.
Should go without saying.
This is a shotgun, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, no time for results in this episode.
Velveteen retained. He's continuing this thread of doing these little Hulk Hogan... I can't tell at this point if they're homages or jabs.
Well,
or...
you know what it is? Like, they are homages, but one thing I noticed during the match is he's taking the movesets from the guys in the 80s, like all the double axe handles, like
the elbow,
the elbow drops, like all the very basic stuff.
Yeah.
And he's making them for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's souping them up.
Yeah.
And like when he's doing them, he's bringing them to the next level and he's putting a coat of paint on it.
Yeah.
It's totally working.
Oh, yeah. It's great. It's totally working. Like,
this is genius.
It's like really, really great character work. So what did we give this one?
You know what? I'll give this 3 3/4 bald heads.
I'm giving this 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5 what? Books in the library?
Stars. I like books in the library. That's very sweet.
I gave this 3 3/4 barefoot stomps out of 5.
Wow.
We're very on the same wavelength here. I do want to say the barefoot stomp on Matt Riddle, I'm already getting a little tired of that. Like everybody's kind of doing that. They need
Rusev has to put some fucking shoes on then.
Yeah. What do you expect? That's going to be a spot every match unless he, like, until you put shoes on.
Yeah. He's going to break his ankle.
Yeah.
That's what happened to our boy Rue.
Yes.
Moving on, we've got Walter versus Pete Dunne
for the
WWE UK Championship.
What a fucking match.
So good.
This, for me, is probably neck and neck for the match of the night. I was really stoked about this match because I'm such a big fan of Pete Dunne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've seen the stuff that Walter just done a little bit on the indies. but I knew that these guys were going to bring it because this is like their stage. This is their showcase to show off Walter.
This was a match where everybody else here has to put on a good match. These guys have to sell their entire show that nobody watches.
Absolutely.
To this audience. Like
everything in the audience, there was like visceral reactions. Like mm-hmm. we were like, oh, and then like leaning back in the seats, like some of the stomps.
What was the sound of Walter's chops live? Like what was that like?
It was like a blood curdling, like it was just like you work in a butcher shop. You ever slapped a roast?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love slapping a roast.
I've never heard anything like that. Man, like those guys just went for it. And oh, totally. Everybody appreciated that there.
And I think this was also a thing where like chops in so much wrestling are used as kind of a placeholder. And in this match, because of Walter, like the chops are the spot.
It was a thread in the match. Mm-hmm. You know, which is great because they're telling a story through Pete Dunne with his like finger manipulation.
Yeah.
And then Walter and his chops, and they're both signature moves. Mm-hmm. And every time they'd hit that, it's almost like a setup to the finish, right?
Totally.
Like, so it's like, and they both sold it really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You know, Walter wasn't able to do certain things because Pete Dunne had, like, you know, broken, quote unquote, his fingers.
That was very upsetting when he broke his fingers.
Oh, but it looks so good. And yeah. then, like, Walter with the chops, Pete Dunne was in a world of hurt. Mm-hmm. World of hurt with those. So it was, like, it was neat just seeing them back and forth. And, like, some of the stuff looks so stiff. I mean, like, yeah. that powerbomb that Walter gave Pete Dunne off the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Like, everybody was like, that's amazing. That's, like, old ECW Mike Awesome shit.
Yeah. Mm.
That was great.
So Walter ended Pete Dunne's nearly 700-day title reign.
Yeah.
We finally have a new UK
great
champion.
Story.
Really, really great ending to that streak, I
just
think.
Just a
totally
ridiculous
deserved.
Reign, yeah.
yeah. Yeah. What did we give this?
I gave it 4.25. You know what? It was almost like 4.25 to 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little bit more like, now that I'm thinking
4.33333.
Exactly. To infinity.
Yeah.
You know, so 4.34. This was such a good match. Everybody was totally in it in the crowd. The last match of the night, for me, wasn't better. I would give it a higher rating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm the same. I feel like it's influenced by the matches that surround it. So I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Also because I, like, full disclosure, don't know a lot about Walter. And I feel like I could have benefited from knowing a bit more about him. I'm super invested in Pete Dunne. Love yeah. him. So for me, it was a 4.
I gave it 4.25 chops out of 5.
Campbell, what are you doing? You're looking at my notes?
You don't have notes.
I know.
I'm peering into that bald head.
Getting in. Digging in deep.
All right, so we're following this up with a 4-way match for the NXT Women's Championship between Shayna Baszler, Kairi Sane, Io Shirai, and Bianca Belair.
You know, great, great match. I felt bad for them because the crowd was so exhausted after the 3 matches before. Like,
I think that's a thing that like the women's championship match in NXT often suffers from.
Sure,
because that second to last spot before the main event is so rough.
Yeah.
For NXT.
Totally.
And a lot of the time that's the women's spot because it is the second biggest title in the promotion, yeah. right? The only time that they don't really have that spot is during the Gargano Ciampa feud.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I think they rose to that occasion. I think this was a really, really fantastic 4-way match. There was
great.
A lot of storytelling drawn in between it. I also think this was the biggest swerve of the night.
Yeah.
That I think if you had asked me beforehand, sort of like, who do you think is going to win each match? I probably could have predicted every other match except for this one.
Absolutely. And, I mean, they're just cementing Shayna Baszler as a monster, right? Like,
totally.
She's a complete monster. The Brock Lesnar, if you will, of the division. So it's like
the Samoa Joe of the
yeah,
division.
Yeah, like, honestly.
But
she,
more chicken shit now.
Yeah, a little bit with the Let's Fight, Let's Play goons.
Yeah, with the goons.
Sure, but like that's just like, it's just like, who's going to beat her? Like when it comes to it, and now you know whoever is going to beat her is taking the torch, right? Like,
totally.
So I can see her hanging on to that for the next...
presumably till SummerSlam
I'd be very comfortable with that. Like,
absolutely.
She's a great champ.
She's so good, and she's honing her craft down there.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, all the more power to Shayna Baszler. I'm digging it a lot.
Totally. I thought Bianca Belair looks strong as fuck.
Yeah, in
this match. She always looks strong as fuck. Yeah,
she picked up both of the Sky Pirates.
Both of those itty bitty ladies.
She's going to be great. Like, she's definitely on a trajectory that's going to be like...
For my money, I hope she is the one that finally does dethrone Baszler.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd be down with that.
Especially because, like, again, it's one of those things where, like, by virtue of what NXT is, I always get kind of stoked when they push someone who is Performance Center homegrown. Someone who didn't necessarily have, like, a big run on the indies. Like, it's like, I love seeing Velveteen Dream doing so well. I love seeing Bianca Belair being pushed right now, you know?
And she won the Performance Center EST, right?
Yep.
Strongest, fastest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's her whole thing.
That's her whole thing. So, like, you know, I'm 100% on board with Bianca Belair. I hope she's the one to do it, but I hope the story going into it is a story of, like,
her digging down bar deep.
And I hope they take the time to do it.
Well, before we get to the ratings, because my favorite part of this match, and actually my favorite fucking part of the entire night, was the story between Kairi Sane and Io Shirai during this match.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Was that moment when Io Shirai hits the second rope acai moonsault on Baszler, and then the third rope acai moonsault on Baszler, and I was like, holy shit, this is it. And then Kairi breaks up the pin, and Kairi is just like staring like hard into the camera, like bawling, like, what have I done?
it was crazy because we couldn't see the facials in the crowd, right?
Totally.
But we saw her like body or movement, and everybody's like, oh.
And that, like, that was my spot of the night, and then... Sure. Kairi hits the elbow drop, and Io breaks it up and has a similar moment of just like, God, I can't believe I did this. And then they start fighting each other, and it gets broken up.
And I really hope they have a match next TakeOver.
Totally.
Because that's going to be one hell of a match.
Oh, yeah.
And like, Shirai needs like a platform to shine one-on-one. And I think that's a great matchup for her to do that.
So what are we talking for ratings?
I gave it a 4. Okay. A solid 4. I thought this match was great. The crowd kind of took out of it a little bit, you know, and that's not their fault.
Yeah.
The match itself was great. Story in the match was great. Shayna's great. Like, everything's great about this match, but it was a solid 4 on this one.
Four bald heads.
How many books in the library does it get?
I said like 4 1/4, four and a third. Like, I really liked it. Again, because I think my rating is informed by everyone's narrative, and I'm very familiar with all of these wrestlers. So,
I said it already. Like, the Kairi Sane crying was my spot of the night. That really hit me emotionally. I thought the storytelling there was perfect. I gave this 4.5 crying Sky Pirates out of 5.
Wow, first match we're off on.
Yeah, yeah.
That Sky Pirates is very good.
Yes. Yeah. So moving on to the main event of NXT TakeOver, we've got Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole, baby.
That was the loudest baby I ever heard. I was at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And he had a huge baby there.
In a 2 out of 3 falls match for the vacant NXT title.
The crowd was recharged a little bit for this match. Yep. Adam Cole's entrance just kind of like, you know, that the baby will get everybody back up again.
It's so nice to be able to like cheer for Johnny Gargano again as well and just like be like, yes, and Johnny Gargano.
He had the regular face.
Yeah, the evil Venom face.
Exactly.
He was still dressed like Iron Man, which, you know, go back and listen to our WCW episode. I got thoughts about that.
This was a 2 out of 3 falls match, and the first two falls were a little lackluster. I have to say, it's like the crowd kind of died a little bit.
I would have liked to see the first fall happen a little sooner.
Yeah, I would have liked them to speed that up a little bit, but at the same time, it's like they're telling a story. I appreciate it. The crowd was fading a little bit during it, and then the third fall. Holy shit.
Yeah.
That whole third fall, that to me was like a 5-star match.
It's because there was such a huge lead up into that that last 100%. Third fall.
So the story, the pacing for the first two falls, maybe not 100%, but once they got into that third fall, nailed it.
It was because there were so many false finishes, so many fake outs, and it was like, oh, you were like just dying for it when it finally came.
Exactly.
You got Adam Cole pulling out like Panama Sunset, like moves that he has not done on NXT yet, right?
Like, and I thought the Panama Sunset would be the finish for the match.
Totally.
Because I was like, oh shit, he did it.
Yeah.
And then sure enough. But like the false finishes, the run-ins.
The undisputed run-ins.
Fucking run-ins.
I actually think my low spot of this match was, like, I liked the Undisputed Era run-out, but I feel like Johnny, like, after two falls, single-handedly taking out three guys who were running out fresh from the back was, like, a little the Superman booking.
It played really well in the audience. Because it was a perfect moment, because you're like, they're going to fuck my boy Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
I think if Johnny Gargano didn't nail the moves he nailed, like that sweet like tornado DDT.
Totally.
Like he just like laid them out and it looked so good and so crisp. It was totally believable. I was hook, line, and sinker on it.
It played for me in the moment so yeah. well. It was only kind of when I was thinking back on it, like sure, the next yeah. morning, where I was like, yeah. do they need to do that? Sure. You know?
But it helped tell the story, and it was like that in itself was a false finish, right?
Totally. So, you know, fast forwarding a little bit, but yep. Johnny Gargano does end up winning,
yeah,
and he celebrates on the ramp with Candace. And who should come out?
You're so cute,
Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah.
No, that was broken neck Ciampa.
That was quite the moment.
He looks like either their child or both of their second husbands. Like it's like kind of like a polyamorous.
I very much get the husband feel.
Yeah. Right.
That was beautiful. Mm-hmm. That was such a good moment. Like I kind of knew going into that match that Gargano was going to win. Mm-hmm. And that's the moment they would do. But it didn't take away from the moment at all. I was like totally stoked about it.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was sweet. That was a 4.75 bald head if I've ever seen one. 100%. The only thing that took any points away from this,
mm-hmm.
The first half of the match, I would have done the pacing a little bit differently.
Same.
Well, yeah. I thought it was a 4.75 polyamorous family reunion out of 5.
Oh my god, you guys. I feel like you guys are dating and I'm just out on the outside.
You're the Tommaso Ciampa of
yes!
your Listen, relationship.
I'm the husband.
Listen, this isn't a podcast. We're not recording. This is an intervention.
All right, Lauren, give us your rating real quick so we can watch SmackDown and then come on back to talk about WrestleMania.
How many loose leaves does this get?
Mine was just 4.5.
Okay.
And now I feel like shitty about it. But
you shouldn't. That's a good rating.
That's a solid rating. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
We are still yet to reach the 5 bald head rating.
Ooh.
Oh, elusive. Elusive 5 bald head rating.
Does it maybe happen at maybe WrestleMania?
Maybe it's coming up after the break. So real quick before we move into WrestleMania 35, just want to give a shout out to friend of the podcast, Oos of the podcast, Danny Granger, who is doing an art in wrestling show in support of the Holland Bloorview Kids Rehabilitation. So there's going to be some art.
What?
Some silent auctions.
What?
Some barbecue.
What?
Some live wrestling.
What?
And a bar.
What?
I said a bar.
What?
I said some beers.
What?
I said some more beers.
What?
I said some barbecue.
What?
You get the picture. Danny's great. He's done some pieces for us. We'll post a little thing up on the Instagram. The show is on May 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Superkick Training Center. If you can go, it's for a great cause. You can pick up something to hang up in your home. You can check him out on Instagram at Danny Granger Art for all of the details for that.
What? Welcome to my house.
The showcase of the immortals.
It's
the grandest
back, baby.
Stage of them all. Welcome to my house. Give me the green light. Whatever the theme song was this year. So we got WrestleMania 35. Josh, you were there for all 8.5 hours.
Hell yeah. From the tailgate at the start right to the bitter end. And thankfully, I had enough foresight to get a hotel within walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
The other 83,250 people 250 suckers.
I loved that they picked that number before the show started, right?
Oh, yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
So, the pre-show.
So, we got in. It was a little bit of a nightmare getting into the arena.
Did you get one of those clear plastic tote bags?
I didn't. I really wanted to get one for Julian. Shout out to our boy Julian. But
I wanted one, too. What about me?
They didn't have them at the event. I looked around. They didn't have... If I would have bought a $60 Sasha Banks Boss Hug Connection shirt, I could have got one, but I wasn't in the financial situation to do that.
So we kick off the pre-show as per usual with the Cruiserweight title. I feel like this is a thing that, like, the Cruiserweight title should headline the main or the kickoff show, right?
Seriously? Yeah,
it's weird that it was the first thing on.
Sure, but like I think it's one of those things where they want to start off hot.
Yeah, they want to pop. They want to pop all like 20 people that are there.
Totally. I wasn't even in the arena. I was still filing in during this. So. Okay,
so it was Tony Nese versus Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
Tony Nese won, the new Cruiserweight champion.
I think that's a good call.
His first reign. I'm going to be honest, we were also kind of prepping, so I gave this I was making pulled pork and not paying attention out of 5.
I gave this a backwards bald head out of 5, as I was not looking at this match.
I gave it 2 out of 5.
You were kind of actually watching,
right? I was watching, and I thought they did a great job, but it was very much just a normal great job, if okay. That makes sense.
Kind of yep. Par for the course as far as the Cruiserweights goes.
I've seen a lot better from the Cruiserweights before, so this was just kind of par for the course. So just like,
well, at least it wasn't a snoozerweight.
No. All right, so next match is Ladies Battle Royal.
Well, hang on, before we get into the next match, I want to ask, like, Josh, being there live, they had these kind of interstitial little interviews and panels, you know. Were you privy to any of that? Did they have that?
No,
on the screens or anything?
None of that was on the screens. I think everybody was just kind of stoked being there. Everybody was taking it in.
You're taking your selfies, pointing at the sign.
Exactly, right? Like, everybody's just kind of, like, taking it all in. A lot of fan interaction. We're all chatting and, like, you know, getting all stoked up about the event.
So some highlights were the commentator from American Ninja Warrior referring to it as the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal Rumble.
That's awesome.
Yep. they had... I can't even remember the name of the show, but it's like those guys from New York that just prank each other. They're like
Practical Jokers.
Yeah.
Impractical Jokers.
Horrible people. Awful.
Oh, they're not awful. Those guys are great.
But we did have, this was great, where there was like a panel with Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels was wearing like a white V-neck shirt and a black denim vest, some not dissimilar to the vest that you're wearing right now, a trucker hat, and a black tie that was cinched up like right under his chin, because he wasn't wearing any shirt that had a fucking collar. Yeah. So he just had a black tie, like, right up there.
You know, if my life would have taken a different trajectory, I would have been dressing like Shawn Michaels right now. Yeah.
So I think those were my highlights of the panels and interviews. I don't know if anything stood out to you, Lauren.
No.
Okay. Lauren, do you want to intro the Women's Battle Royale then?
Go on.
Okay, so next was the Ladies Battle Royale. There was a fake out. Almost looked like fucking Sarah Logan was gonna win, but then Carmella emerged and took the kick.
Uh-huh. That's the match.
That's the match. I thought Ember Moon was out a little too early in this.
Yeah,
Ember Moon was my pick to win.
You picked her, yeah.
Everybody in the audience around, like, we all, like, were kind of rooting for Ember Moon. Mm-hmm. So that seemed to be the consensus for the live crowd.
Everything was fine. Like, there was no really big spot other than the the actual finish of the fake out.
And like, when Sarah Logan was, like, on the up and up to win it, like, everybody got really psyched about it. It's like, yeah, we didn't know we wanted this, but like, we kind of want this.
Yeah. I kind of wish they had made a little bit of a bigger deal about some of the women from NXT that were in there. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize Candice LeRae was in the match until she got eliminated.
I had no idea.
The match,
I had no idea.
Like, I don't know. Kyrie was in it. I did like Carmella kind of hiding and coming out like a little... Like, it's kind of the thing where it's like they could either use this to sort of turn her a little heelish, or it could just be this kind of tongue-in-cheek, like, you know, you love me kind of thing there, right? Like, either way.
I'm definitely okay with Carmella winning. Give her something. She's, like, a fan favorite. Why not?
Yeah, and she's put up with a lot of bullshit this like recently, like just with the 7 second dance thing, yeah. And with Arch Ruth, like I feel like they haven't really been giving her a lot to do.
So I give the women's battle royale 2 Shawn Michaels ties out of 5.
Yeah, I gave it 2 bald heads. I feel like it's just kind of a standard battle royal. I'm glad Carmella won. Good for her.
Yeah, I also gave it 2 out of 5.
No, you didn't.
I did. It says right here. 2 out of 5.
Following that up, we had the Revival versus the Edgeheads for the Raw Tag Team Championship.
Yeah, this was actually a pretty solid match. The crowd was pretty into this one.
Oh my God, the streak is broken.
I thought if you're gonna pay off the Curt Hawkins streak ending, I think you could have done it a little bit better. But that being said, little like nitpicks aside.
Like, it would have been nice to have a little bit more of a build to this, and like some of the people that we were watching with were like, wait, this is a match? And it's like, yeah, they announced it on YouTube or some shit. Like,
yeah, there was an open challenge that they accepted or something like that. I have no idea.
Yeah. Live, great that you guys enjoyed it, thought that it was a decent match. At home, it seemed like absolutely nobody cared, and they gave it like a lot of time.
So like, much time.
It was long.
And that's the problem with this WrestleMania, I think. On a whole, like they weren't really considerate with like matches and like the time allotted for the matches.
I gave it 1 Dash Wilder uppercut out of 5.
Woo, baby. I gave it 2 bald heads out of 5.
I also gave it 1 out of 5.
Okay. The tables are shifting a little bit. You know, I guess you guys are truly the power
We're
couple
quite,
here.
Quite in sync.
It's not me and Campbell.
And we follow that up with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. I still think it's ridiculous that we call this the armbar. That's not how acronyms work.
I'm pretty sure it's armbar.
So we had this featuring Luke Harper with no special entrance. The Hardy Boys with a, like, 7-minute special entrance. How was that live? Were you... Because at least we had, like, Michael Cole talking over
No, it was hilarious live. Like, because it's like, they kept on, like, looping, like, Jeff Hardy's line. And it's like, and the crowd was like... And like the whole section just was like singing along with like the Hardy theme, and it's like it's never ending.
And also featuring Saturday Night Live, I guess.
Jost and Chi.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever. Sure. And nobody cared at all about
those
guys.
At all.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. This was, like, for all of the pomp and circumstance that sucked about this battle royale, there were some banger spots.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me tell you, if it was Dana Carvey and Adam Sandler in this thing, this thing would have been fucking popping. Okay?
Yeah, Tina Fey would have sold, all right?
Sold, okay? you know what? Like, this wasn't too bad. The crowd was, like, mildly invested in this. I feel like the whole pre-show, it's nobody, like, really cares. No. It was, like, when WrestleMania started, that's when the action started. But, it was fine for what it was.
I thought Andrade looked really great in this.
He always looks great.
I loved Heavy Machinery suplexing Braun Strowman. It would have been nice if the camera had fucking caught it or commentary had noticed. Yeah. But I noticed, all right?
And we noticed. Live crowd noticed.
Lauren, what did you think of the armbar?
I gave it 1 out of 5.
Okay.
I didn't think it was anything special, and there was not a lot of story.
You're going to find a trend. I gave this 2 bald heads.
I gave this 2.5 out of 5 cowbells.
Oh, okay. Little SNL callback.
That's the only SNL reference that I know.
I give this 2 weekend updates out of 5 weekend updates.
We're on to the real show here. We got Alexa Bliss.
Oh,
you forgot the not the national anthem. They did.
The non-national anthem.
They had the helicopters.
Also, Braun Strowman won the Battle Royale.
Yeah.
And then hoisted that trophy up. That looked like a fucking heavy trophy.
It looked like it was so hard for him to lift that trophy.
Hey, guys, Braun Strowman's super strong.
Thus, imagine how heavy that trophy is. He was struggling.
The main show starts. Everybody's losing their mind. It's very cold at MetLife.
It's
very cold. And not only that, the show started and they had, Alexa Bliss was first?
No, they start with the Showcase of Immortals.
Okay.
Did you see this?
Did you guys get this video package?
So oh, yeah, we got it.
Yeah, so it was like shots of like old WWE wrestlers having moments, and then shots of current WWE wrestlers quoting Shakespeare and and walking in slow motion. I loved it. I love wrestlers walking
quoting
in slow motion.
Rush.
Yeah.
Can we get onto the match? Actually, sorry. Can we get onto Alexa Bliss?
Yeah.
The host of WrestleMania, underutilized as the host of WrestleMania usually is.
Used twice. What the fuck?
Yeah. Three times.
Three times.
Three times.
Well, I mean, like, cumulatively once.
Sure. Like. But so, like, Alexa Bliss comes out, and we're all thinking in the section, it's got to be The Rock. It's got to be somebody good. She's like, oh, you guys want a WrestleMania moment?
I was thinking John Cena.
Well, I can make one with the snap of my fingers. And she snaps, and then old fucking Hulk Hogan comes out. Now, everybody around me standing up, losing their fucking mind. Old Josh Pryor sitting there, squinty-eyed, arms crossed.
We got Josh Felix Pryor on the case.
I'm not supporting this man yet. This man has debts to pay, as far as I'm concerned.
They flex. I don't know. Fuck it. Whatever. Paul Heyman comes out.
Beautiful, by the way.
Yep.
It couldn't have been done better.
It caught me totally by surprise, and it got me really hyped, actually.
Yeah.
Paul Heyman immediately comes out and then introduces Brock Lesnar.
And you stayed hyped. Introduces
the fucking match of Brock Lesnar v. Seth Rollins.
Like Paul Heyman goes into the thing. He's like, you know, my client's got to be in like Vegas in a couple hours, so we got to get this done quick.
Where he's appreciated.
Yeah, where he's appreciated. It was so perfect. It's like,
it was 100% the thing that everybody joked about, right?
Yeah.
Where they were just like, oh, if Brock's going to lose the title, he's going to do it early and then head home,
yeah.
Right? And that is exactly what happened. Seth got some dope pyro with the burn it down.
Yeah.
Like, can we talk about they brought back pyro? We got pyro for WrestleMania.
Everybody was so stoked about the pyro. Everybody, yeah. Like, again, like, I think the highlight of the night for everybody, matches aside, we got pyro back. Everybody loved it. Seth Rollins comes out and then gets beat up before the bell rings for about, what, 5-10 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, maybe a little too long. I felt like
it was fine.
The total time that this got, beat down and match total, thought was a good amount of time for it. I think the ratio of beat down to match was a little off.
Yeah. I don't. I think it was perfect. Like, it was the perfect amount of, like, beat down. Seth seemed, like, really fucked, and that was the perfect amount, because it was enough to make you feel like, oh, maybe, like, Seth will lose because of this bullshit.
Can I tell you, I disagree with you.
What?
That's right. I'm coming back at you now.
Okay, Josh.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, I thought for the amount that they brought Brock up, and, you know, they had him beat the Undertaker streak, I would have liked to see a longer match between the two. And I would have liked to see Seth get more, like, you know, quote unquote hope spots. I would have liked to see, like, an actual struggle for the title.
It felt and then very Seth sour like, grapes on Brock's part.
Yeah, it's like, this guy's leaving. Fuck this guy.
You want it to be more like Gargano and Adam Cole, who had, like, a really drawn out...
A little bit, where, like, Brock was, like, really kicking the shit out of him. Had Seth earn it during the match and then properly pass the torch. That's my only nitpick with the match. Other than that, super happy with the result.
What'd you give it?
I gave it 3.5.
Three and a half bald heads?
3.5 bald heads, bell to bell.
So here's the thing. I was going to give it 3 out of 5 low blows.
Okay.
And then they showed a replay of Paul Heyman's face
when
Brock Lesnar lost.
You were so taken with this replay of his face.
And that bumped it up a whole half a low blow.
Oh, no!
His eyes just fucking widened at the exact moment that Seth wins. It was like... Perfect.
And according to you guys, I talked to you a little bit behind baseball here, but I talked to you guys about this, and apparently the third curb stomp looked pretty brutal.
Third curb stomp looked
rough. His whole fucking face.
Fuck.
Yeah, eh?
Just splats on the mat. It just splats.
Man. Yeah, it was. It played off really well. Crowd popped huge. Everybody was totally into it. And the nice thing about it was it set the tone for the night.
Well, Campbell and I were talking about this, how like this first match like really set us... Like, set the tone in motion for, like, this might be the WrestleMania where you get everything that you wanted.
See, not me. Like, I was watching that, and I was like, these sons of bitches, every time Vince McMahon booking this stuff, he's going to have two of the matches for what the fans want, mm-hmm. and then the third match, he's going to have, like, the Vince McMahon, like, swerve. So I was, like, convinced all show that Charlotte was going to win at the end.
Mm.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
I know. I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Oh, yeah. Before that, we got AJ Styles versus Randall Keith Orton.
Yeah, everybody's kind of checked out during this match.
I was fucking checked out during this match.
Yeah, like, I'm sure they had a solid match. Yeah. I was getting a beer.
They had some some great visuals, some golden snakes, a big backwards phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't care. I think they did like a little too late on building the story to this match. They had one really great promo segment on SmackDown.
Super but it wasn't good promo. Enough. Yeah, and
I think we've already seen these guys fight on SmackDown a couple of times. Like they've had a couple of throwaway matches.
But the thing is, there's no stakes, right? Like yeah, there's no stakes exactly. in this match. Like so why? Like
it doesn't matter.
I get it. Like AJ Styles needs momentum.
Yeah,
it could have been pre-show.
Yeah.
So we got a lot to cover, so let's just get to the ratings here. I gave this a shrug out of 5 matches that didn't need to be on the card.
I gave this 2.5 balds. It was a fine match because AJ Styles is great. Randy Orton's a great worker.
Yep.
It was fine for what it was, but there was no stakes and nobody really cared.
Lauren, did you rate Orton versus Styles?
Yeah, I said 2 out of 5. I don't do a lot of half ratings, so okay. Mine was just 2, because yeah. I was unimpressed.
All right.
That feels all right. We move on to the SmackDown Tag 4-Way.
Yeah.
We got the Usos. We got
The Bar.
Oh, we got Al and Ricky.
Yeah, we got Al and Ricky. And then we got
Shinsuke
and Rusev. Yeah, definitely.
We remember things.
We got this. No notes, baby. Yeah, like, people love the Usos.
Yeah, I'm glad they retained.
Everybody was super happy to see the Usos win this yeah. one. It was a good match.
Mm-hmm. It from what I saw, it seemed like a really, really fun, just big spot fest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the old Instant Pot went off.
Okay.
During this match, and we were like, should we wait for the end of it? But everyone was really hungry, so we got to kind of serve in the pulled pork sandwiches.
Yeah.
So I didn't rate the match, but I did rate the sandwiches.
How were the sandwiches?
They were 5 out of 5.
Ooh, 5 what? Out of 5 what?
5 pulled pork sandwiches out of 5 pulled pork sandwiches.
Weak.
I don't know. 5 instant pots out of 5? Maybe all right. Instant Pot can sponsor us.
I'll take it.
You know? What did you guys rate this tag match?
I thought it was a 3 out of 5. 3 bald heads out of 5. You know, it's fine. Like, it was a spot fest. There was a really cool spot with Sheamus and Cesaro, where Sheamus was, like, doing the chest beats.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd was counting along. That was fun. And then, like, Cesaro was, like, doing the swings in the ring at the same time. Lauren, how many library books did you give it?
I think I missed rating this one because of the pulled pork. But I'm going to say 3 out of 5 because I remember watching the ending and being quite satisfied with it.
Okay.
That double splash from the Usos.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, like, satisfactory 3 out of 5.
Yeah. Nice.
Had we waited a little bit and actually watched this match, we would have been able to skip the Hall of Fame recap.
Oof. They didn't show the Bret Hart tackle.
No, they did not show the Bret Hart tackle.
Surprise, surprise. An event that several library employees knew about. So this is a thing that normal-ass people heard about.
The Hall of Fame recap is one of those things where I never watch the Hall of Fame because I know that there's going to be a segment in WrestleMania that just gives me all the good stuff.
Yeah.
The Warrior Award finally went to someone that crazy old racist bastard wanted it to go to.
Absolutely. Somebody behind the scenes.
Yep.
Doing their work behind the scenes, doing like the Make-A-Wish stuff. Couldn't have been happier about that.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake looked really awkward just waving those shears around.
We couldn't see it. Like, so they didn't show the people on the screen. Okay. And we were kind of in an awkward situation where, like, we're, like, watching behind that.
Yeah.
So they would only show China or mm-hmm. they showed Anvil.
Yeah.
They wouldn't actually show what was going on.
DX did this hilarious bit where they all went for their pose, but X-Pac was, like, off-screen somewhere doing something, and they all had to wait for him to get... It was bad.
Okay. So you'd recommend me not going back to watch that? Okay.
Yeah. And then we got The Miz versus Shane McMahon in a Falls Count Anywhere match.
Yeah.
Featuring George Mizanin.
Fuck. That meme old potato. That old potato man.
So good meme.
Yeah. He's hilarious. Like
he cracks me up.
That whole match was really good, though. Like, and Shane, during his entrance, getting him, the announcer, to, like, re-announce him three times was priceless. And then The Miz, I don't know, he's kind of a geek as a good guy.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this Miz face run, but this match, like, just for the Falls Count Anywhere of it all, like, and the George Mizanin bits, like, this was my favorite match of WrestleMania up to this point.
Okay, I'm glad you finished that thought. <Sorry. laughs>
No, I love this. They were like fighting out in the crowd.
It was
there were
great.
Some big spots. There was some. Shane took that bump where he was like supposed to land on the golf cart and just missed it and like
totally.
Dropped to the concrete.
And then like Shane like pulling up like Mrs. Dad's hands and like showing him how to like fight.
Yeah.
I thought if
there is anyone who should not be showing a person how to throw a punch, it is Shane McMahon.
Totally. That guy throws more potatoes than that guy's head. It's like, but like, yeah, like, and the end spot with that. Even though it was, like, super obvious that it was, like, you know, like, cardboard boxes on top of a big whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It looked great. It looked great live. And, like, the crowd totally bought it up.
Absolutely. It was, like, it's a far fall no matter what you fall onto.
Yeah.
You
know? I thought it was awesome. Like, I gave this 3.5 bald heads. By the way, after the big suplex onto the big gimmick, Shane McMahon got the win.
Yes.
Which I think is a great win.
Fantastic. Lauren, what did you think of the match?
I said 3 out of 5. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very good. I was glad that Shane won also.
I love how progressively more drunk we're all getting during this pod.
Fuck you guys.
I am too. Don't worry about it.
There was a point where Corey Graves said, George Mizanin is 68 years old. Give the man a break. So I rated this 68 George Mizanins out of 5. We got the women's tag match, another 4-way tag match.
Can I be honest with you?
Yes.
At this point in the night, I started getting real deep into the beers.
Okay.
And I don't remember too much from this match.
Mm-hmm. Do you need to tell you who was in it?
No, it was Sasha Banks and Bayley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was the Iconics.
Yes. Yep.
It was
Natalia
and Beth Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Beth Phoenix got a huge pop.
Beth Phoenix did get a huge pop. I was very confused as to why she was dressed like a heart with Bret Hart coming out, because she's not related to that family.
Because
right?
She looks fucking identical to Natalia. They are the same. It was so freaky.
They're the real Iconics.
It was fucking weird to see them next to each other. I was like,
Bret Hart got the biggest pop, especially from our section full of Canadians.
Mm-hmm. He also just like crept up behind them, like the way that it was shot was for weird. Us at home. It was Beth Phoenix on one hand, Natalia on the other, and then, like, while the crowd was cheering, Bret Hart just kind of crept up in between their shoulders, like, he just, like, leered forward, like, hey. Yeah.
Hey, ladies, I'm here to manage you.
Yeah.
And then we also had,
Tamina and Naya.
Are they calling Christ. Themselves the Divas of Destruction? Oh. Is that their thing right now?
Dad.
Oh, God. Is Dad.
It? Yeah, I don't know. I thought this match was like a little slow, but had a great finish.
Yeah, I agree. Again, like Bret Hart being there after getting brutally attacked the night before. huge pop from the crowd. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I thought the Iconics winning this one was completely the right move.
And they won in the best way possible.
Yes. Absolutely. The finish was great. Them having the titles is great.
Mm-hmm.
They're so good on the promos.
So good.
And like walking out, doing their gimmick. Yeah, I gave this match 2.5 bald heads just to kind of whip through this thing.
Yeah.
I don't remember too much about the actual meat and potatoes of the match. But.
So all I remember is that Peyton Royce stole Sasha Banks' thing of wearing Eddie Guerrero-inspired tights. And then there was another little Eddie Guerrero bit where Tamina and Naya were going up to do a splash, which was probably more of a Superfly Snuka,
yeah, 100%
homage. But and I really wish that they had gotten to do that dual splash, but it was interrupted.
Yeah.
But anyway, I gave it 2.5 Eddie Guerrero homages out of 5.
Okay. Okay. I would have gave it 2.5 amigos.
Oh, that's a way better joke. Lauren, what did you think of this one?
I said 3 out of 5. I thought it was very entertaining.
Right. It was very entertaining. We got what we wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, this was the WrestleMania where we got what we wanted.
The fans Amen. Are the GM.
And speaking of getting what we wanted, Kofi Kingston versus the new Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship.
Without a doubt, the match of the night.
Oh my God.
Hands down. The place couldn't be more electric. Mm-hmm. It was perfectly placed on the card.
Yeah.
Big Iconics win. Like, the crowd was completely mm-hmm. behind that. Going into that, Kofi Kingston's package going into the match, everybody ate it up. Like, everybody was so electric going into this match.
Mm-hmm. And from home, it was, like, incredible, like, just, like, solid match. These guys, we've seen both of these guys, like, in arguably two of the best runs of their career.
Daniel Bryan is a heel.
Mm-hmm.
This is some of his best work that he's ever put down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and like, I know like a few pods back, I said like they wasted Daniel Bryan coming in.
Yeah.
They have not wasted Daniel Bryan in this. This guy is killing it.
It's true. They're really letting, it feels like they're letting him do whatever he wants to do.
And he's having fun doing it too. Mm-hmm. And you can tell, like, he's like, just like, the little smirks, like calling people impotent. Like, everything this guy is doing.
Fickle.
Yeah.
Fickle. It's all just gold. But yeah, going into this match, Daniel Bryan was the perfect foil to Kofi Kingston.
Totally. The B-plus player stuff worked so well.
Yeah.
Literally the only thing that I would change about this match is I would have had them do the New Day, clap your hands and feel the power,
yeah,
and have just Kofi and, or just Xavier and Big E come out, and then have them point to the stage and have SOS hit. And have, like, if Kofi had come out to SOS, that would have been fucking perfect.
You know, I hadn't thought of it, but yeah, you're not wrong.
I know.
You're not wrong. That's perfect.
Give me the book.
Yeah, give him the book.
My moment of the night here was just the crowd doing the New Day Rocks chant,
yeah,
while Kofi was in the LaBelle lock.
Oh.
Like, holy shit. Like every, on par with a WrestleMania 30 yes chant.
You know, sometimes if you're at a live show, you're doing a chant just to do a chant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody was doing, like the New Day Rocks. And, like, we're all, like, 100%, like, Kofi, get out of this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We were so invested. And, you know, the match was fantastic, well-paced, really great false finishes. It wasn't overdone.
Mm-hmm.
When Daniel Bryan hit the knee,
yeah,
like his finish, we were convinced, like, that was it.
Yeah.
And Kofi kicked out. The place fucking came unglued.
That was us as well. Like, you were saying that you were sure that Charlotte was going to win the main event. We were sure that Daniel Bryan was going to win this.
Yeah.
We were like, there's no way they're going to give it to Kofi.
Yeah.
And it was great. Lauren, what was your rating there?
I gave it 5 out of 5. It was exactly what I wanted.
The perfect match.
The perfect match. I also gave it 5 out of 5. No jokes. It was just great.
Yeah.
I gave it a 4.5.
Josh. Out of 5.
We're still reaching for the 5 bald head match.
Listen, this was a great match. This was a great match. Compared to the Adam Cole Johnny Gargano match,
mm-hmm,
I still think that was a better match. I think the outcome, the match itself, everything about this match was stellar,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, it just, like, delivered on every front.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, again, for a 5 out of 5, it's got to blow my mind completely. And this match didn't do it, but it was a great match.
So after that, we went out for a little cold shot break.
Yeah. And us in the live crowd got to see Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio.
We totally missed it.
I was super stoked about this. Like, Rey Mysterio's entrance, I think, lasted longer than the match itself.
Mm. Booyaka.
619.
We were all, like, really stoked about this because it was, like, Samoa Joe's debut at WrestleMania.
So cool.
So cool.
So cool.
But he came out and made the man look like a fool.
From all the replays we caught, it did seem so, yeah.
Yeah, it was a great showing for Samoa Joe. I hope that means something for his character. Like, I hope, like, him squashing Rey Mysterio just shows, like, how big of a badass he is.
Totally.
And, like, builds him into something more than this.
That was another thing where I was, like, really worried that because this... I think the United States Championship is the one thing that Rey doesn't have to make him a Grand Slam champion.
Yeah,
so there was part of me that was like, oh, man, are they going to just, like, do that WrestleMania moment thing and, like, give it to him and totally kneecap Joe's first title run on the main roster? And I'm very glad that they didn't.
Yeah, I think Joe needed this win. I'm glad he won this one in pretty decisive fashion.
Yeah.
I don't think it was long enough for an actual bald head rating. I mean, like, I on the surface, I give it a 3.
Sure.
Gave me the result I wanted. Made Joe look like a badass. Sure.
Lauren, what do we got next?
Roman Reigns versus Drew McIntyre. I said for Roman, lots of pyro. I said for Drew, lots of bagpipes.
So Drew McIntyre got the War Raiders entrance reskinned with a nice Dropkick Murphys patch.
And way cooler.
Can I tell you, the live crowd for this one was not about Roman Reigns.
Oh, man.
They all hated Roman so much. And me... being the avid Roman defender that I am, mm-hmm. I was calling them all cowards. I said,
as you should.
I said, how dare you all mm-hmm. boo this man who fought and won against leukemia?
Yeah.
I said, you know what? Fuck you guys. This isn't enough pyro. Yeah. He should have a pyro every time he throws a punch.
Yeah.
This man is a hero. And they were like, boo. And then I was trying to overwhelm them with a, ooh, wow. Right? So the whole match, it was just me against, 82,750 people.
Josh against the world.
Me against the world. And man alive, I couldn't have been happier to see that Roman Reigns get the big W. Mm-hmm. Little bummed out that Drew McIntyre had to eat a clean, clean win in the middle of the ring.
Yeah. It was. This was a thing where it was like, I feel like for a lot of people, this match was kind of on par with the AJ and Orton match in terms of, like, did this really need to be on the card?
Yeah, and
I felt like for this one, at least they built it a little bit more with Drew, like, having run through the rest of the Shield beforehand, having, like I was more invested in this than I was for AJ.
I was of two minds of this, right? So it's like, if Drew's going to be your next guy, potentially,
mm-hmm.
you know? He couldn't afford that loss. Right. But, like, you can't make Roman lose coming back on his first WrestleMania after leukemia.
Yeah.
So it's like you're kind of in, like, a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of situation.
You're between,
right?
A rock and a big dog.
Ooh, good call.
Lauren, how'd you feel about this?
I said 3 out of 5. It was adequate. It was what I wanted. It was good.
It was just some big sweaty boys fighting. There was the Vince McMahon in me, like, loved this match.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I gave it 3 out of 5 excessive pyros.
You know, all I want is for Roman Reigns to wear less when he wrestles. I feel like I would rate everything a lot higher if he did.
Like a banana hammock.
Drew McIntyre's thighs are redonkulous, and I feel like if I could see Roman Reigns' thighs...
Can I tell you, I brought binoculars just to look at that man's
no,
thighs.
Yeah, you did.
Hashtag Drew McIntyre's thighs, if you're listening.
I gave this a 2 out of 5 bald heads.
I think that's fine.
You know what, like, the live crowd wasn't into it. They were all, like, kind of turning on it. The night was getting a little long in the tooth.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, everybody was a little cold, a little tired.
Yeah.
You know, and we knew that, like, we're all, like, chatting amongst ourselves, mm-hmm. trying to count out how many matches, how many segments, like, what we knew was,
like,
coming,
yeah,
up. We were all, like, taking inventory of the night during this match.
Yeah.
So, like, at that point, you can tell it's going to be a longer one.
I don't know. For me, I feel like this was a more hopeful point in the night, and I actually literally wrote in my notes, is this, like, this is the point in the WrestleMania where I start wondering, is this a WrestleMania where they just give us everything we want? Because
you're sending us home happy.
Yeah, it seemed like this was a hopeful note to strike right here.
All
and
right.
I was itching for more.
Okay. And then we have Alexa Bliss come back out, I think.
Sure.
I have Elias coming back out.
Yeah, so Alexa Bliss comes back out to introduce Elias.
Yeah.
Right, and Elias comes out. Funny little bit with him playing the drums and him playing the piano. I liked him.
I thought this was great.
It was like, very cute.
Oh my God, it was so funny.
And it looked great live, too, right? They had the fireflies in the audience spelling out Elias.
That was dope.
Yeah, it was really cool.
How did they do that?
I don't know. Like, I was just looking down, and then, like, the right side from where I was sitting, it was spelling out Elias. Yeah. And, like, just, like, everything looked so great about the segment. I was like, this is perfect.
I do think, like, when I was watching it, I was just like, man, you can see just beads of sweat pouring off his forehead, hoping that he got the timing right.
Sure.
So that the video would sync up with his promo.
That was a big, big ask. Like,
he did a great job.
He nailed it. He nailed it.
And it came off great.
And then, the Doctor of Thugonomics.
There's a registered doctor in the house.
Yeah.
And it's John Cena. And the crowd went fucking nuts. This is exactly what we wanted to see from John Cena tonight.
So this is the thing where, like, by this point in the night at home, we are fucking hammered. And I think, Lauren, like, you and I both thought that we were just like, is this actually a heel turn for John Cena?
Well,
I am still fucking adamant that that was a heel turn for John Cena.
Definitely was not. It was nostalgic pop.
Nostalgic pop. He was wearing a Yankees jersey in New York.
You guys all keep saying that, like, that's the fucking deal breaker. But just, like, what
John
he's
Cena's,
wearing
John
doesn't...
John Cena's from Massachusetts. There's no way he would wear a Yankees jersey if he wasn't trying to get a face.
No, but, like, the reason why I say that is because he said heel turn because he knows that's what the crowd wants.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I
so if
thought that that was an indicator. Also, I thought that it was so over the top, like, nerdy, off color, slightly out of sync with current times.
But like,
that
it
was kind of heely. Like, just like, what the fuck are you doing, John?
That's like old school John Cena, like, rap promos, right? Like, that's
regardless.
Exactly what
regardless,
he used to do.
It doesn't matter because we're not going to see him until, like, fucking Survivor Series.
But can I tell you, we were also drunk in the live crowd, and everybody was eating up that shit so much. Like, we're all like, every line he's like, he pulls out a bag of pistachios and we're like, oh. And like, I can't even remember half of his rap, but like, everything he was saying was like, oh, he's back, Johnson, the doctor is back, the doctor of the comics is back. Everybody loved it. Like, and this was like the perfect segment, like, again, more giving the crowd what they wanted. And we couldn't been happier. Like, that was perfect for John Cena. And then alluding to, like, the, it's like, you know, I'm not going to give you an AA, but I got an FU.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I didn't rate this segment. Did you guys?
I gave it 10 out of 5. All
that. Yeah,
it's only
because
I was super drunk.
I didn't rate the segments.
Word out of life. Speaking of the night getting long in the tooth.
Yep.
We got the Animal Batista.
Batista!
Holy shit.
Versus The Game, Triple H.
Continuing how drunk I was, I took a video of myself doing the Batista machine guns.
It was awesome.
It was so good, Josh.
I think I was the only person the most stoked about. I kept on singing, I walk alone inside this pit of danger. Like, I was so stoked to see Batista. And then the match started.
Yeah. Well, before we get to the match starting, how did you guys feel about Triple H's entrance?
We didn't know what was going on.
Okay. Oh,
it
my God.
Like, it was like Mad Max
it
stuff
was
going on.
Really, really shitty, like, C-movie Mad Max graphics.
As
like,
friend
awful,
of the podcast
awful, awful.
Put it, Julian, mediocre Max.
It was
so
fucking
good.
Funny.
But, it was just, like, a bunch of stuff going on the screen, and we're all, like, kind of, like, looking at each other, like, so is he coming out?
Like, and then he has, like, an old dude in, like, kind of weird, just, like, half-assed, like, skeleton makeup as his driver, because Triple H cannot be trusted to drive such a machine.
His driver looked like Vampiro.
We couldn't see the driver, but I'll take your word on it.
And this is the thing where, like, all night we were like, man, I can't believe, like, the Iconics wearing Maleficent horns has been the best entrance of the night.
Totally.
I can't wait to see what Triple H busts out. And then that happened, we were like, ugh, never mind. Like,
and again, like, it's one of those things where it's like, we're all looking around at each other, but then, like, it's like, duh, time to play the game. And everybody just, like, erupted because it's like, it's Triple H! But, like, then again, the bell rung.
Yeah.
And we're all like, ugh. Like, we're all so tired. Please, please just end this match quickly.
End this.
You want to know about so tired?
I fell asleep during this match. I watched the first bit. I saw the chains being wielded. It was horrifying. I saw the nose ring being ripped out, and I promptly fell asleep right after that.
That was definitely the spot of the match.
Yeah.
Was the nose, because they had on the screen, like, Batista's face, like,
yeah.
So, like, Triple H went in with a pair of pliers and, like, went to Batista's nose ring, and Batista's acting here is on par with any Marvel movie he's ever done. Because his face was like,
shots fired. Batista is never going to guest on this podcast now. The big thing that I wondered about this live was, did you guys see Kumail?
Yes.
No.
He had a huge spot with his fucking name under it.
So, right behind the commentary booth, Batista went up. I think it was, like, maybe right after his entrance. Batista went up and, like, pointed to somebody in the crowd who had two giant Batista heads and was wearing a shirt where the entire print of the shirt was Batista's face, and it was Kumail Nanjiani because they're in a movie together.
Holy shit. No, we didn't see that at all.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that was why I gave this match 1.5 Kumail Nanjianis out of 5.
You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm sure this match was really good outside of the context that it was. I said this earlier, but I feel like if this match would have been second on the card, I think it would have done a lot better. If it was 10 minutes shorter, second on the card, I think the crowd would have loved this.
I think it was a little long. I think it should have finished when Triple H hit that top rope powerbomb onto the stairs and then the pedigree.
Yeah.
That should have been the finish. And then they went for another 5 minutes, and Ric Flair came out, and there were two sledgehammers.
This was the longest match on the card. Like, it's crazy. Like, how is this, like, two people that, again, like, people want to see this match, but they don't want to see that much of that match. I gave this two bald heads. Honest to God, I could have done without it.
Yeah. Lauren, what was your rating? How many nose rings out of 5 did you give it?
I'm going to say 2.5, but I did fall asleep, so...
2.5 is generous. You had a dream version of that match that was way better than
honestly,
the actual match.
Honestly, I was blown away by how hard Triple H was hitting Batista on the back with those chains, and it really pushed it up for me.
Whipping the chains, eh?
We lost context of that, but like...
It looked
It sounded... pretty good.
Yeah. It was cool.
It was crazy.
So next up, we got Kurt Angle versus Baron Corbin in Kurt Angle's retirement match.
Pretty cool to see Kurt Angle's retirement
match. Yeah, and I mean, like, a lot of people, I think, are, like, a little upset about Baron Corbin winning this, but I think, like, Kurt Angle went out on his back. He's an old school guy, you know.
Absolutely, 100%. I think this was probably a lot of Kurt Angle's call.
Totally.
You know, a lot of people said John Cena, which makes sense because it
would have
been for full circle with John Cena and like
but
Kurt
like,
Angle.
Kurt Angle beating John Cena doesn't do anything. Kurt Angle losing to John Cena doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
At least this has the potential. Maybe Corbin gets a little bit of a push out of this.
Yeah. Baron Corbin's got huge upside. Like, as far as I'm concerned, he's a great heat-seeking missile. And, you know, hopefully he can use this win.
Yeah.
And again, the crowd genuinely hated this man.
Yeah.
And it was, again, like, Kurt got, like, his big send-off, and, like, you know, the crowd was totally into chanting it.
I didn't rate the match, but I gave the retirement speech a 4 out of 5.
Mm-hmm. 4 out of 5 what?
4 out of 5, you sucks.
Perfect. I gave the whole thing 2.75.
Okay.
Bald heads. It was fine. It was what it was.
Yeah, I rated the match, and I rated it 2 out of 5, question mark, because I was just kind of like,
You were kind of just waking up.
Yeah. was a little bleary.
I was a little bummed out that Jason Jordan wasn't in the audience to send Kurt with his family. Yeah.
All right, moving on. We're at our second last match of the night. We've got Bobby Lashley versus Demon Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship. Can I say, so in a WrestleMania card that was way too long, where the idea is that everybody's just trying to get their shit in, everybody's trying to get their paycheck, I loved it a couple of years ago. I think it was WrestleMania 30 and WrestleMania 31, where they kicked off the show, or maybe it was 31 and 32, where they kicked off the show with like a 7-man Intercontinental title ladder match.
Totally.
And I really wish that that just became a mainstay of like, that is what we're going to start WrestleMania off with.
I think the U.S. title and the Intercontinental should be both ladder matches or some kind of gimmick matches.
Some kind of gimmick match where you can get like all the people who weren't in the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. You like just pull a bunch of people in, get their shit in, big spot fest, pop the crowd. Because this was literally just a vehicle for Balor to do the demon entrance and Bobby Lashley to wear weird contacts.
And like, again, like Bobby Lashley looked like Nightman from It's Always Sunny. From where I was sitting, at least. And Demon Balor looked fucking sick. Like, I was all about this. And, like, the way they book Demon Balor doesn't make sense to me. Like, they don't, you know, book him against a Brock Lesnar, you know, in the WWE title match. But they book him, like, randomly against Baron Corbin on, like, whatever pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they book him on this WrestleMania and they don't book him. Like, it's just, like, it doesn't make any sense. There's no continuity to it. But when he does it, I like the fact that he squashes the other person when he's a demon.
Totally.
Like, I think that part of the booking with it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they keep doing that, it makes it like a dangerous element if they do it right.
There was a moment in this match where I think, what's his name? Leo Rush sort of like got up to interfere.
Yeah.
And Balor just turns around and fucking looks at him.
Fucking give him daggers.
Yeah. And Leo just books it.
I love it.
And that was great. Like, I do agree. They book the demon really, really well.
Yeah.
But at this point in the night, it was just like, give me Becky.
Yeah. You know? It was like, give me a finish. Yeah. Like, everybody in the audience was like, just give me a quick finish.
Like, I kind of wanted this to be as quick of a match as Joe Ray was.
Totally. Yep. I think it lasted maybe about 3 minutes, 4 minutes too long.
Yeah.
But I thought it was good for what it was. I gave it 3 bald heads.
I gave it 3 out of 5. I really wanted to highlight that I thought that Finn showed great hustle. Like, he was really, really giving it, really showing up to work that day, trying to sell Bobby Lashley and his dumbass.
There's some great
spots
in that.
He does. Finn's physicality when he's the demon is very different from Finn's physicality when he's just Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And I do appreciate that sort of like physical acting, because that's a lot of what wrestling is.
And the powerbomb spot I thought was really telling.
It was great.
Like, to come back to that, like, him doing the powerbomb is like, this man can accomplish things that Finn Balor can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this like incarnation of Finn Balor is like next level, more intense, more powerful.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I like that narrative.
I gave it 2.5 Bobby Lashley contacts out of 5.
I thought they were great. I want to say the contacts worked for me with Bobby.
Contacts a 5 out of 5?
Yeah, he was slightly more interesting.
And moving on to the main event, oh no, wait, Alexa Bliss comes out in, Lauren, her third outfit of the night.
I was really into all of Alexa's outfit changes. I think that's a power move.
I didn't even notice.
They got better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were so good.
And this was great. This was like the WrestleMania equivalent of the seventh inning stretch during a baseball game.
Totally.
Where she brought out Carmella and R-Truth and was like, everybody stand up and dance.
Like and nobody was dancing. No. Like, everybody live was like, please just fucking end this pay-per-view.
here's the thing. Like, what I have to say about baseball is that, like, if you have a point in the game where you have to tell everybody to stand up and stretch out, maybe we just end the game at 7 innings.
100%.
You know?
Right?
And like, that's how I feel about this WrestleMania.
Like, you could have shaved an hour off this, and everybody would have been content. Everybody would have been happy. Like, make WrestleMania 10 matches. Just figure out a format that doesn't make it 7.5 hours long.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. So finally, we get our main event of the evening.
Yep.
We got Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch for both the Raw and Women's SmackDown.
Let's talk
titles.
About how good these entrances were. So first of all, Joan Jett.
Yeah.
And the Blackhearts. That's a dream of mine. Like, just seeing Joan Jett play live.
I still don't think it's a great walkout song, but it was sick to see Joan 100%. Jett play it live.
Honestly. And then, like, the Charlotte entrance, I thought was...
In the helicopter.
In the fucking helicopter.
Pretty good stuff there.
It was cool.
Yeah. And then I love that Becky didn't have a special entrance.
She didn't need it. Like, the whole crowd was 100% on board with her whatever theme song, and we're all chanting along with it. We're all 20 beers deep at that point. So it's like any Irish thing that you can like chant along with or steampunk thing you can chant along with.
Well, and it was like, I honestly don't think there is anyone else on this card, Kofi Kingston included, that could have gotten the crowd back up the way that Becky Lynch got the crowd back up.
You know, I was thinking about that. And it's like, even if you change the match order, like even if you said that, you know, like Kofi was going on last with Brian. Mm-hmm. I think for the reaction and the journey Becky's been on, and like they deserved, regardless of you know, gender or anything else, the story that they've told over the last year, they deserve to be in that main event spot. So, I mean, the match was what it was. Ronda looked very good in this match.
Yeah.
You know,
she did. She did a really good job. Like, she seemed stiff as usual, but she seemed to be more of a team player.
Yeah, like she was thrown with like more intensity.
Yeah.
She was throwing some really stiff looking kicks.
I think the thing is, like, say what you will about Ronda Rousey as a promo, as a performer, as a person, she can go in the ring. Yeah. She has, like, I'm not a huge fan of Ronda Rousey. I'm not a huge fan of the way that they've built the women's division around her.
Sure.
But like every match that she has is good.
Yeah.
You know, she has not had a bad match since she's come to WWE.
And a lot of people were saying that, like, you know, it should have been, you know, Becky versus Ronda one-on-one. But I think Charlotte added so much to this match. Totally. She's so good. Like, her spots within the match, I think, just brought it to that next level.
Mm-hmm.
And, the match played out really well. It was short and sweet.
Yeah.
You know, I would have liked to see them get a little bit more time, but...
I would have... So my big thing about this match is that, like, I think the finish would have worked if they had built up Ronda's finisher a little bit more on Raw in the preceding weeks.
Sure.
Because Ronda's been winning a lot of her matches with submissions.
Yeah.
And she hasn't been using that judo throw.
Yeah. And that looked great. Like, that looked great, like, on the outside against Charlotte and Ronda.
Yeah.
Or totally. Charlotte and Becky.
And Becky, yeah. And it, like, I think it would have built that sort of roll-up win. Like, I think people would have been more, oh, shit, like, she just hit it. Oh, no, she didn't, if they had spent a little bit more time building it up beforehand.
Totally, yeah.
So I think the finish was a little bit sloppy, but the match itself was really great.
Yeah, and it did its job. I mean, like, we got three big ones, and I think a lot of the crowd weren't expecting Becky to get the win at that point.
Totally.
Because it's like, the other two big wins already happened. We're expecting the screw job.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're expecting something to play out. I know I was personally expecting Charlotte to win.
Yeah.
So the fact that Becky got it, I couldn't have been happier.
Yeah. Lauren, you said it, right? It's the WrestleMania where everybody got what they wanted.
No, it is. Like, I don't know. I thought all three ladies did, like, a fantastic job, as stated. Like, they worked really hard. They were really going for it. I thought it was an interesting, like, one spot I will call out was Charlotte and Becky trying to lift up and power bomb Ronda, like, several times together, and they struggled very hard, and it made me really, really respect what the men's do when they do that single-handedly all the time. Yeah,
it was great how much they put into that match. You know,
yeah.
I gave it 3.5 out of 5. Where's Asuka's?
She was in the Snickers Battle Royal.
Give me a break, pal.
I gave it 4. You know, I thought it was good for what it was, and like you know, they were in a tough spot. You know, at the end of the night, everybody was tired after a 7.5-hour pay-per-view.
Yep.
But yeah, you know what? Send everybody home happy. The whole pay-per-view, like, just reflecting back on it, was one of the best WrestleMania experiences I've had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was great. I really enjoyed it.
I'd say top five for sure for me.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
And that was our WrestleMania 35 weekend shotgun. Maybe ran a little bit long. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/stonecoldshots. We got polls going where you can tell us what to watch.
Yeah, we got Instagram, Stone Cold Shots Podcast. Follow us there.
We got some Photoshops. We got some jokes, you know.
Always jokes, always Photoshops.
Yeah. Lauren, where else can people find us?
You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Spotify. Rate us and review us on all of those different podcasting apps.
Beautiful.
You can hit us up at stonecoldshotspod@gmail.com. Let us know your sign watches, how you would book stuff, your high spots and your botch spots. If they're funny, maybe I'll read them on air. But until next time, goodbye and good night.
A bang!